live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Tom Hush was giving me accolades from behind the glass for hitting the news on the mark. It is our new commitment, in particular on this show. I can't speak for any other hosts, to John Tatey, but we were all doing a little dance that I got to the news.
Right, I was excited. I was watching the clock.
On the money. So it was
to the second.
It was kind of exciting. I don't know that in my entire 5 years of being here, I don't know that I have achieved that moment.
Oh, sure you have. I've seen you nail it at the top of the hour, which is the crucial one.
The crucial one. There are a couple crucial ones, tops and bottoms, but the most important one is the one right at midnight that I absolutely have to make for reasons that we'll go into some other time. But John Tatey joins us. He and his mom, Bonnie, have the incredible podcast Pop Mom, and you can find that anywhere you download your podcast. Mm-hmm. And you can subscribe to it and follow John on Twitter at John Tatey. T-E-T-I. And we are thrilled.
I'm excited.
Are you excited about being enlightened?
I'm excited, yes.
Oh, she's calming.
She is.
In studio with us is best-selling author Valerie Genghis. She is the author of Enlightenment is Sexy. And she was telling us something as she sat down about you have like two places that you basically have your residence, one in Colorado and the other in, tell us?
Fairfield, Iowa.
Yeah, that's random.
It
feels random.
It's super random. And when I tell people, like, yeah, I live in Fairfield, Iowa, they're like, excuse me? You live in Iowa? That's so weird. But it's really not. It's a group of people ended up moving from Santa Barbara to Fairfield, Iowa. They bought an old college and they turned it into MUM, Maharishi University of Management. And it's like a town filled with hippies, and we meditate together and eat a lot of Indian food and are super chill.
Amazing.
See, now John and I saw the series, the documentary series, Wild Country.
So we're just going to go there.
When we think of people who'd want to take over a town, this is not what we're talking about in Fairfield, Iowa.
Okay, so Wild Country was like Fairfield on crack.
Yes.
I mean, we're definitely not poisoning people. Nothing like sinister is happening.
Yeah. Excellent.
It's not like that. But it is, you know, a lot of peace and love.
A community.
Yeah, it's a really amazing community. And growing up in Chicago, I didn't know something like that existed. But once I moved there, I was like, wow, this is beautiful to have all these people around you that care about you and can see you and understand you and want to talk about deeper things than, like, you know, just like surfacey stuff. So it's it kind of changed my life to live there.
When did you come to transcendental meditation? Am I saying that correctly?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. It was in May of 2011. Mm-hmm. My mom had passed away that January at the end of the month, and she was my soulmate. She was like my best friend, and I adored her. And when she passed away, I've described it as though, like, I died when she died. So I became really suicidal. I couldn't work. I was non-functioning. And someone suggested that I learn TM so I could sleep. I had a bad sleeping disorder too. I was a disaster, I guess. And after one meditation, I went from being suicidal to a state of ecstasy, and then I never looked back. My whole life changed.
After one session.
Which is not, I wouldn't say that's common. I kind of feel like I received a miracle. I mean, it really was something fantastic happened to me, but that is what happened to me. I learned to meditate, and it was like, boom, the lights came on. And within 2 weeks, I was working with Oprah. I was doing a lot of speaking. I all of a sudden was able to write. Like, all these gifts came out of me. And it was really because I kind of shut the hell up, went deep inside, and was able to get in touch with my true self.
In the sense that you learned how to meditate on that, and you said TM, the transcendental meditation, was that something that was guided? Did you seek somebody out, or was this something that you did with an app? I mean, what was your first experience? What did that entail?
So when you learn TM, it takes 4 days, and you learn from an instructor. So they give you your mantra. It's a mantra-based meditation. And it does take 4 days because they really want to make sure you have it right. And then after that, you're on your own. You know, you just, you can have support for the rest of your life. You can go to any TM center and meditate with other people or get your meditation checked. But really, you know how to do that. And then you can meditate anywhere. I've meditated in the back of cabs in New York City. I mean, I meditate in my room, just sitting up in bed. You it kind of becomes like a part of your system and soul, and you just know how to do it. But there is instruction involved.
Is it one-on-one, or is it a class? You do this? Cause I've been to a group before. A friend of mine we were in California, and they're like, "Oh, come to this this transcendental meditation session." Even though I hadn't been trained, mm-hmm. I just kind of like closed my eyes for 20 minutes. It is weird when you're not trained. You know, everybody else sort of has this sort of technique or method mm-hmm. or training, and the energy is interesting. Was the thing that I was able to take away from that. You know, I felt like when I, you know, having my eyes closed and trying to, I was almost too aware, so it was hard for me to relax.
Right, because you felt like maybe people were watching you or something.
I'm like, what am I supposed to be feeling right now? Right.
Yeah.
That's the trouble I always have. It's like, am I doing it right? And then I'm like, you're thinking about it and you're doing it wrong. And how do you stay in that state? I know that's training, part of the training, right?
And I think it's the mantra that you use it as a vehicle to, like, you just think the, it's a sound. So you think the sound, you don't really put any effort into it. It's super, it's like the lazy man's way of meditating, right? So I always tell people, like, it's as easy as brushing your teeth. So you think the mantra and it carries you down. It feels like there's like an elevator inside of you, and you think the mantra and just down, 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 till it's just a sea of silence, and you stay in that, and then you're transcending, you're going past the mind.
So you have the book Enlightenment is Sexy, which is available anywhere people want to purchase a book, and as well as your website
and Amazon.
Yeah. I always will let authors let me know. I want to make sure that they're sending folks to the, you know, destination that they prefer. So if Amazon is easiest for those of you out there, and also the website is Valerie Ganges. That's Valerie Ganges, GANGAS.com, and you can you offer coaching. So is it something that you do first? You have a phone call and you talk to somebody, find out what is that first phone call like?
Just to make sure that we fit with each other, you know, and we're on the same page and there's no false expectations or anything like that. And usually it's people come to me that are learning to meditate and are starting to have different experiences. Like, it can get kind of confusing because you kind of feel like you're in a different state and things start changing in your life and you don't know why, because you're not really doing anything, but you really are. So I think to help people integrate that into their lives is helpful.
Now that we've met, is it weird when you are like, let's say I wanted to call you and we know each other. Have you ever done coaching for any of your friends or people that are like, oh my God, I have to be coached by you?
Totally.
Okay.
I mean, because again, it gets kind of confusing, and I know that sounds weird because it's something as simple as just meditating, but I think it's good to talk to someone that's already been through it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because then I can say, hey, like, it's no big deal. This is what's happening. And then you have the knowledge and the experience all happening at once.
And you were mentioning that a lot of things seem to unlock for you. Because I hear people meditate, you know, they set aside a certain amount of time every day. How often do you set aside time for meditation every day?
So I'm trained to meditate longer than 20 minutes twice a day. So there are times that I'll meditate 3 hours a day, but on the norm, it's 20 minutes twice a day. You know,
I'm sorry. I was watching my producer's head just go, I'm sorry.
That's
what?
Awesome.
It is awesome.
It's very cool. I actually had a question about celebrity transcendental meditation practitioners. You mentioned Oprah. Even people like Clint Eastwood and someone that I'm a big fan of, David Lynch, the director, who did Twin Peaks and Eraserhead and all this stuff. But I was curious if you think that if TM is particularly helpful towards creativity, because you have so many people that are in the arts practicing this, getting out of the mind. I just wanted to know if you thought it's helpful or can get you to a certain place.
Yeah, I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, I feel like it helps you bring that creativity to the surface and helps you execute these thoughts and ideas in your mind. So for me, again, I was in the restaurant and bar business. Like, I never thought about writing or speaking or doing anything like that. And as soon as I learned to meditate, it exploded out of me, and all of a sudden I could do all these things. So now I've been involved with like a lot of artists, and there's a lot of comedians for some reason that do TM. And it's
really
Jerry Seinfeld's Why do you on think that, that list.
Is? Yeah, Seinfeld's a big one, and like Amy Schumer, David Letterman, Jimmy Fallon, all those guys. I think it just opens you up, and then you can create magic. Like, that's the way I see it. It helped for me personally. Like, I felt more limitless, and like there was nothing holding me back, and I felt like I could really share my inner thoughts without being nervous that people would think I was weird, or, you know, I felt more comfortable just being who I was.
When you say that people find that it's freeing, what do you think it is that they're cutting through? What is it, the, you know, constant worry? Is it the things that aren't important? Is it being, you mentioned whether or not I was in a session and maybe I was worried about what other people thought about me. That's not something that I have no shame. But I have other things. So it is the clutter, right? It's the other noise. Is it the energy that we are allowing?
I think that you get in touch with your true self. It's kind of like when you have someone in your life that can really see you, and it kind of makes you feel more open and you can be yourself. Well, this is like you're going inward and you're seeing yourself. Ah. And you are just more authentic and more calm. And everything flows easier then, I think.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll ask if when you see your own self, can that be scary for some people?
Yes, it can.
I was going to say. We're talking to best-selling author Valerie Genghis. You can go to her website, valeriegenghis.com. The last name is G-A-N as in Nancy, G-A-S. More with our guest when we come back. You can find her book anywhere you buy books, including Amazon. And John Tatey and I, maybe we'll just meditate during the break.
Oh, good idea. I need a mantra, though.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I have to find out. I mean, can it be anything? We'll find out more in a moment. Our guest, best-selling author Valerie Genghis, is enlightening us and talking about how we can find our true selves by perhaps practicing transcendental meditation. John Tatey joined us in studio. We're both fascinated. I feel like we're both people who are like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
Well, because I've done it. I mean, my mother is very much into meditation. She was also in, and I read that your degree is in religious studies. Mm-hmm. So my mother was always sort of experimenting with different religions. And I remember, Mommy, please don't be upset. I'm prefacing this with, it's my memory of it, Mommy, and I might be wrong. But she also tried Buddhism for a while. Mm-hmm. And I remember her having like the beads and the sort of little altar and Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, right? So you don't make that up if you don't remember that from when you're 7 or 8 years old.
Right.
And she would chant that. And, you know, we've gone to Kripala, which is a yoga retreat mm-hmm. in the Adirondacks. And she's always trying to find that. But when I go and meditate, like, I fall asleep sometimes. But
that just means you're tired. I mean, seriously, yes. It's that simple. Yes. Like, you're just tired.
Right. And when you say mantra, I think that John and I are both like, so every person has to have one that's specific to them that is their, that's out. Tell us a little bit about that process.
How do you choose one?
So you don't choose one. They will choose one for you. And it's based on different things, but your teacher will take care of that for you. Like, you don't have to worry about it. They'll give you a mantra that's specific for you. And
for people who don't know, when we say mantra, what is that?
It's just a meaningless sound that helps you. Again, like, it's just a vehicle that you follow in order to silence the body and the mind and just settle down.
And it's not, do you say it out loud or you just recite it internally?
Yeah, just think it very easily. And when you meditate, like, you're probably going to think thoughts, right? There's no way you're not going to think any thoughts. I mean, you can get to the point where you don't think any thoughts, but normally you're going to think thoughts and then you just easily go back to the mantra.
Right.
It's super simple. It's like there's nothing complicated about this at all.
Well, that's so that's really reassuring, though, because we were saying earlier, like, you start thinking and then you know, I would always like scold myself. But it sounds like what you're saying is, OK, the thought's going to come and you just let it go.
Yeah. The thoughts, you can think of it like when you're releasing stress from your body, they manifest as thoughts. And there's no meaning to them, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you're thinking about ice cream or, like, your boss. Like, it's all the same. So you just let it go and you go right back to the mantra. And then you're not thinking again. And it's that pure silence that you want, but you're not pursuing it. It just naturally happens.
Mm. Well, and then I'm guessing then that has an effect throughout your day then, if you are trying to think of, you know, if trying to clear your mind. Because one of the ways I was taught at Kripalu was when you have a thought, you don't admonish yourself. You just go, oh, there's a thought. Sort of address it and let it go in a way. Mm. But we didn't have a mantra. They did like walking meditation mm-hmm. and that kind of thing too, where you're sort of, and I do that sometimes when I'm about to do stand-up comedy. I'll do that behind a curtain, which is weird because you don't want to walk into anything. But there's a question from one of our listeners. Again, we're talking to Valerie Genghis. She's written Enlightenment is Sexy, and you can pick it up anywhere you buy books, including Amazon, or visit her website, valeriegenghis.com. The 815 asks, how about people with depression?
So again, for me, I, was suicidal. So I don't know, you don't get much more depressed than that. And this lifted all of that from me. And I know I've worked with a lot of people that have depression, and maybe it's not instantaneous like it was for me, but it absolutely will help lift depression. I'm not saying don't go to a doctor, don't go to a therapist. Even after I learned to meditate, I went to therapy just to help clear out any past traumas. And, I really wanted to face all my stuff. So I'm not saying don't do that, but meditation is absolutely helpful for anxiety and depression.
It helps. And that's, I like the way you put that. And, it reminds me of, a lot of people say, exercise is great for depression, which it definitely is. Totally. But whenever I hear that, there's a lot of people who, for one reason or another, can't really get as active as they might want to, can't exercise. And this sounds like maybe it's another way to burnish your health, your self care is what
it's just
to
another tool.
Yeah.
I don't really see how it couldn't help you. I mean, you're living in a world where there's constant stimulation. You're like at work, there's screens everywhere. It's like going, going, going. And like when you just let your mind rest like you would your body when you're sleeping, you're healing yourself. Mm. It's like, it's so natural and it's so powerful at the same time.
I don't know if I can get into this one because here's something she says. Everyone you meet is a mirror. It's part of your toolbox. And when you recognize you dislike something in someone, know that it's really about you. John, I'm with you, John.
Wow.
Once you identify your issue, then take the opportunity in that very first moment, if possible, to focus on what this might mean. Doesn't mean you have to like the thing. You could still dislike something about yourself, right?
Absolutely. Just say, like, listen, we're all going to have problems. We're all going to have pain in our lives. But I always say, like, go towards the pain, because once you face it and deal with it, it not only does it go away, but then you end up being stronger. So it's never going to stop. We're human. We're going to have these issues coming up. Just face them and be strong and deal with it. And you'll just keep growing and growing until at some point the good and the bad will all be the same.
It's interesting because there's a book called The Artist's Way, which a lot of people swear by.
Love her.
I understand. But I get to like maybe a few, like I do the date with myself and mm-hmm. I'll do the morning pages maybe for like a week or two. It seems to me already looking at the first, like just looking at your toolbox, like the assignments seem a little more consumable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, The Artist's Way, I've tried that thing. Like I've even done online groups.
Yeah.
I have started.
It's a lot.
I've done it like 7 times and just never been able to finish. Maybe we should do like on my show, we should just do the maybe we do Enlightenment. We'll do like a book club, but they're ones that are, but there's tasks in them, and then we'll do fun stuff. Maybe we'll do like a coloring book in between.
I mean, I right? always want to keep it easy. That's yes. just like how I roll. But
yes,
because yeah. You got to be realistic about like what you can actually fit into your life.
Well, right. Like honestly, I enjoyed. So one of the early assignments is taking yourself on a date.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and played pinball. I went to a museum, and then I have a life. I have kids. I have a lot of work to do, and so that went away. And then once you stop doing one of the chores, you're like, well, I give up. But this seems like something that you can stay with. And by the way, I'm talking about her book, Enlightenment is Sexy. You have sort of landing spots along the way. Your toolbox.
I think it's just like being aware. And once you know things about your life, you can catch them when they happen. And you're like, oh, okay, well, that's what's happening now. And then you go on autopilot. Like, I wrote a chapter that thinking is overrated. Like, I think you can get to the point where you're not constantly thinking like, okay, I got to do this and then this and this and that. You're just like, you're in it. You're in the flow and it's happening and you're your intuition is leading you, and you're not overthinking everything.
We are talking to Valerie Genghis. We have to take a break here, and I'm going to see if you'll hang out with us. We're going to interview a reporter just a little bit from the Block Club Chicago about a uniquely Chicago feature, and maybe you guys want to hang out for the conversation. John, you know you're always welcome to stay as long as you can.
I appreciate it.
And so we'll figure that out during the break. And Paul has come into the producer's booth. Paul Farvar joins us. Apparently, you guys are almost the same age. I am so sorry, Paul. You probably should start meditating. More in a moment on 720 WGN.